welcome to Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Our website is redicecreations.com. That's the place to go for more radio, more news, video interviews, films, links, and other resources that hopefully will expand your point of view and add some new neural pathways to your thinking mechanism. And this is not about belief or convincing you of anything, but simply help to broaden your perspective so you can find your truth. And today we have Freeman with us on the show to help us to broaden our perspective and to point out that other often unseen dimension in events that take place on this planet. And it was back in April 2008 that we had him with us last time. At that point, we talked about Freeman's trip down to South America, and today I know that we're going to go on some more adventures, maybe not as far in the geographical sense, but definitely in the realm of thoughts and ideas. And we are going to have the latest dynasty of the USA, the Black Pharaohs of the Kingdom, as the theme of this program. Welcome back, Freeman. It's great to have you with us again. How you been?
Henrik, I've been great, and it's great to be here with you.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to this. Again, we have the kind of the theme or the backdrop today as the new dynasty of the USA, as it were, the Black Pharaohs. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today, of course, but that's one thing that I guess we could begin off and talk a little bit about the general, about the election, but also some of the more occult or esoteric roots or symbolic roots of what we've been witnessing. What's your take on this whole debacle, as it were, or this whole sideshow, as it's become almost?
Barack and on.
That's it.
Well, you know, the curious thing was, as I've been outlining for a few years now, is the road to World War III, as it was identified by Albert Pike with his letter to Mazzini. And of course, Mazzini is the one that put M in mafia. But these are, you know, Freemasonic men. These are occult orders. And so once you start to realize that our nation, many nations, have been founded on these occult principles, and that the people running things, directing things, guiding things, and creating things all live within that occult mindset, then you start to see that a lot of things that we consider quite normal or you know, like laws, politics, legislation, are actually based in the occult, because this is where they come from. So when I began looking at this picture and I started to see, like, when I predicted 9/11, this was looking at this prospect of World War III coming. This was an attempt to see how they would set up the hearts and minds of the American people prior to bringing on the World War. So as I watched them bring down Bill Clinton, and they brought him down with the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Mm-hmm. Now, we all knew this was strange because there was no – so many of our presidents have had affairs, and they've always covered it up. They don't put this out in the public. But then all of a sudden they bring Bill Clinton in front of everyone for a few hours and make that poor man squirm in his seat and turn purple when asked about inserting a cigar into Monica Lewinsky, and, you know, called for these impeachment trials. So to me, this was absurd. It was something that they did not do to any other former president. So this was obviously a psychological warfare operation. And its purpose was to lower our ideal of the man, the president. So we were looking at this man of the people, you know, Bill Clinton, the saxophone player, you know, Saturday Night Live, great guy. And then they bring him down and they destroy all of our hopes and ideals of having this man of the people in office. And so to me, this was a key sign, a keynote in this whole psychological warfare. So looking at it, I said, well, okay, what would they do next? And obviously the next step would be to force a president into office, because then this would be attacking the very system. So first you attack the man, which is disheartening the people. Then you attack the system, which further disheartens the people. So I said, this man W that they're talking about is going to be forced into office, and he will be the last American president. Mm-hmm. Now, when I looked at that picture, The reason I selected W was because of the Kabbalistic meaning. Now, when I talk about Freemasonry, you must first acknowledge that Freemasonry is a form of Kabbalism. And therefore, all of your associations need to go back to Hebrew. Mm. And that's when you start to get the code, and that's when you start to figure things out. And in Hebrew, this letter, W, equals 666 in Hebrew. And this 66 is the number of the fallen ones. It's the number of the dark side. In Kabbalism, it's blatantly said. So when we look at like Volkswagen's logo, you see it's two V's interlaced. So it has the 66. But then you cross the two V's, making a third 6, and you have 666 in Volkswagen. Mm. Or if you look at Phillips 66, and you see that it has 6 points on the crest. So you have the coded 66, again, the VV, but then 6 points with a mysterious 666. So I'm following this type of thinking, and that's what highlighted W for me. So I said, that's going to be the man. They're going to force him into office. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Mm. And they then, of course, made all the story known about Jeb Bush in Florida forcing it. But this was more of the psychological warfare. This was more to alert the people that they had just been duped. They wanted you to be angry. So they leaked the news about Jeb Bush. But this was a total farce. We know that it wasn't Jeb Bush. It was the Illuminati. It was an overall scam. This is mind pattern programming being put into place. Mm. So here I am looking at the picture, and when during the Clinton era, of course, we're looking at this Homeland Security coming about, this whole new world order as it is in the police state. And so I've been watching this bill come up every October, and of course, failing miserably. Nobody wanted to pass this Patriot Act, Homeland Security. But when W was railroaded into office, I knew that would be the time. And so, of course, then 9/11 occurred, and I predicted this date using HW's announcement of the New World Order for the first time publicly on 9/11/1990. Mm-hmm. And then you can couple this with, which I can no longer find this data, but the cornerstones for the Twin Towers were dated to 9/11. The cornerstone for the Pentagon you can find is absolutely dated to 9/11.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so I looked into that number a bit and came to the conclusions of its Luciferian connection, skipping the hermaphroditic number 10 and going to 11. 9 to 11 is skipping God, basically, which is like a Luciferian ideal. Mm-hmm. So that might be the symbolism of 9/11. I'm still, you know, I take it and I throw it into Kabbalism and I see what I get.
Right.
Because that's what we're dealing with.
Yes.
So we're watching this whole process of this coming of World War III as outlined by Albert Pike. And next thing we know, we get through W, and I had said he would be the last American president. And I didn't realize how literal I was going to have to take my own prediction, because here comes Barack Obama, a non-American citizen, or at least not proven to be an American citizen. Now, all of us are required to show our driver's license, our ID, our passports, our birth certificates. We're all required to show this on many levels. You go down to the driver's license office today, and they want my Social Security card. I don't have a driver's license because I won't give it to them. But yet, here's the president of the United States going, there are court cases going before the Supreme Court saying that he needs to show that he was born in America, because there is a constitutional amendment that says you must be a natural born citizen to be president. Mm-hmm. So we find Barack Obama now potentially a Kenyan resident, and or a Hawaiian, but if he could prove it, then maybe we could be somewhere with this. But what we've got is kind of a shifting of the Constitution. It's the next step in the plane. So Barack comes in, he doesn't prove his natural born citizenship, and curiously enough, both Barack and Hillary were trying to push forward legislation to say that you don't need to be a natural born citizen.
Mm-hmm, really?
The curious thing was that also his running mate, or his opponent, McCain, was born in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of the presidents, were necessarily natural born citizens, although being born in Panama on a military base, you at least get the fact that you're born on, technically American land.
Right, right.
But back in February of 2008, Senator Claire McCaskill introduced the bill to the Senate. It was the bill 2678 for Children of Military Families to Natural Born Citizen Act. And this bill to bring in, to start to loosen the grip on the natural born president, was co-sponsored by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And then a second one came through as well on this same note. They continue to try and pass this this legislation to bring in a non-natural born president. Now this is opening the door for the Arnold bill. Is opening the door for Nazi rule over America.
Austrian rule, yeah.
Exactly. And we also find other curious things like Barack Obama being Barry Satoro in Indonesia, being in a school in Indonesia at a time when they did not allow foreigners to be in the schools in Indonesia. So somehow he proved that he was a citizen of Indonesia as well, but yet can't prove that he is an American citizen.
That's interesting. What is that? Because in one sense, it's really on the more kind of, how should you put it, the on the geopolitical scale, it really doesn't, you know, it represents something, obviously, but it's yet kind of very superficial. But you have a kind of a more occult or esoteric interpretation of that, the fact that he might not have been born or be of, you know, been born in the USA, basically.
Well, I see that if they wanted to push this, now this went before the Supreme Court twice. There are people that are still pushing the bill. I think Alan Keyes has even gotten involved in this. I'm not sure. But what we see is that now we've got this man out in front of us, the first black American president. Everybody's all excited. They've got their Obama goggles on. But what if they then brought in this this court case again? And people would demand that they open the Constitution and rewrite it, that they go ahead and pass Hillary and Barack's Natural Born Citizen Act. And this would open the Constitution to a constitutional convention, and therefore they could go in and alter whatever they want. So it's like they set up this man that everybody loves, this new Messiah, the new hope, and the one. And then they're going to try and take him down if they do this. Either way, they've kind of shifted the Constitution a little bit. But for me, it's an attempt to open the Constitution to start and get this new world order rolling, get the global government going.
Interesting. I get this idea of this is, it's been very much talked about that Obama is the first, what they call the global president, being that he comes from he's more kind of multicultural in that sense as well, and he's more like, is a little bit all over the place, his origins, as it were. And it's also the idea someone who comes in and take over the kingdom, as it were. Like if we reference this back to Egypt later on, we can tie that in with this whole idea that someone from the outside is coming in a sense and taking over, inheriting the kingdom, as it were. What's your take on that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it goes on because Barack becomes unconstitutional a second time. So in case this first one of him, his natural born citizenship wasn't good enough, then Barack flubs the inauguration or the oath.
Yes.
With Chief Justice John Roberts. And so this spurs that they have to go into secret, go in behind locked doors without the news, without the public, and retake the oath. So now we don't know who this oath was taken to or what was said, because it was done behind closed doors. And then the president comes out and says, well, I didn't have my Bible with me, but the oath is still binding anyway.
I know, sorry to cut you off for a minute, but I know that the BBC published allegedly a mobile phone recording of the oath taken. We can't be sure that that's the correct one, of course, but I know that allegedly that there is a recording of it, and that is posted in an article that BBC put up just a little short while after that point. But anyway, please go ahead.
What we're looking at is the mind of humanity, the mind of Americans, and the programming that's going on. So these are just small details that, in an overall sense, start to shift people's brains. They start to say, well, you know, we don't really need that Natural Born Citizen Act. We don't need, you know, it starts to shift the mindset to allow a little more leniency so that they can start to bring in deeper rules and open this to what they intend to be is the regions. They want to put regional governments in all of the world. And, you know, I focus on the U.S. And so they want to put a capital on Atlanta and a capital in Denver and then 10 regions within the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so this was curious when Barack was supposed to pass this latest bailout. And then he was like, well, I'm going to put this on hold for 5 days. And none of you can look at this bill, although he promised all this transparency. No, I'm not going to show you this bill. And then I'm going to go sign it in Denver. So it's like they're shifting the mentality. They're shifting everything. So now we see Denver as this other capital. And also, you know, being the bailout, this is also where the Amero was first leaked to the people at the Denver Mint when they were printing the Amero there.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Denver has been kind of targeted or pointed out, it seems like, this, you know, very, very symbolic, important. You know, we have the airport there going, the new airport, you know, which has some interesting stories around it, and the murals even at Denver Airport. You know the story, right, Freeman?
Oh, absolutely. And you can see those murals on my film with Tex Mars.
Yes.
I'm hoping to get those up on my YouTube channel here soon.
Brilliant.
So yeah, exactly. That, and then you take that over to Colorado Springs, which is not too far away, and you've got the Space Command, you've got the Missile Defensive Shield, NORAD, all forming right there in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And that all fits into this picture as well, because this is going to start to go off world. And so now we have this president who's twice unconstitutional, the mindset being set for everyone. And he comes in now with this new plan. If we look at his title, Barack Hussein,
yeah,
this is a unification, of course, of Barack and Israel, who is the head of Israel, and yeah, Saddam Hussein. And we're seeing this unification of the opposing sides. He's a black and white president.
Yes.
We had the male and female running. We had a lot of this unification of these opposites coming in this story.
Absolutely. I'm glad you point out that, because again, it seems to be the talk as well has very much been, you know, let's unite the party, or the parties, such as that, or the two different blocks, as it were, the Republican, the Democrat. You know, the time for this is over now. And I think again, Obama has really, with his administration, his choice of people, have very much kind of continued on that line as well. He's keeping Republicans in there, and a lot of the old Bush guard is still there, and the people he's pointing out, you know, again, is like bringing in the old guard from the Democrats. So it's very much about bridging these two sides, and the time of opposites or dichotomy is almost over, and this guy is going to kind of unify it all, right?
Exactly. You know, and him bringing Rahm Israel Emanuel into the story,
right?
And then then Rahm Emanuel's whole platform is about this compulsory service. And I can't wait to see what happens when they start to tell the 18 to 24 American children that they've got to go into boot camp. Hmm. I wonder how this is going to go over. Is everybody just going to be like, okay? I don't think so.
It's going to be for Obama. So everyone's going to be lining up.
Maybe. It'd be curious. But I don't see that in the American ideals, you know.
Sure.
Not many of us want to be forced into compulsory service.
Of course not, no. Huh.
And they offer then, on top of that, this whole idea of volunteerism. And this was something that Hitler used, Marx used, the whole idea of volunteering for your nation. Mm-hmm. Now, a long time ago, and what they were pushing were this AmeriCorps and Job Corps, these systems that have been set up beforehand. Now, being Freeman, I went and I had a friend who returned from Job Corps, and I was like, well, let me see. He had a belt buckle from his work there, and I wanted to see the secret symbols in it. You know? So I'm like, let me check out your belt buckle. I flip it over, and there's no hidden code. There's a blazing compass square and G on the back. there's no doubt that these are Masonic organizations. Mm. And once you start to couple these type of pictures in that we've got the Masons have pretty much taken over. Let's realize that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton went out to the Bilderberg meeting last year. Barack Obama says, yeah, I went to the Council on Foreign Relations meetings, but I don't know if that makes me a member.
Yeah, right. He doesn't even know if he's a member or not. That's a good one. Right.
And then he goes on to say, what was that other question about the North American what? You know, the North American Union? Yeah, as if he had never heard of such a thing. I mean, right. Come on. These guys are horrible liars. They really are.
It's incredible.
So we start watching this form, you know. We're watching it form.
Yeah.
And so the next thing that we're looking into is, well, there was a little more I wanted to cover on Albert Pike's outline of World War III, and then Obama's coupling NASA with the DOD.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So.
So in the context of World War III, do you think that Obama here has a? Well, I mean, they all do have a role to play, literally, but. Is this an important stepping stone, as it were, towards that goal, I guess we can call it?
I think so. We're starting to see a lot of symbols in that way, which we'll get into a little bit more, but like Pope Benedict taking on that title, or you know, Cardinal Ratzinger, the Nazi,
yes.
And taking on the name Pope Benedict, which is the name of the Pope during World War I. But it also goes back to the Templars, and we'll get more into his hunting down of the Templars coming up.
Mm.
So we start to see symbols in the names. You know, when there was a Bush, a Dick, and a colon running the country, and they were all palace worshippers, you know, I don't know. But now we've got this this Lincoln, Kennedy, Barack story going on.
Mm.
It's getting very strange. But when we were looking into the picture of the path to World War III and Albert Pike's letter to Mazzini, of course it says, you know, we need agents of the Illuminati to foment differences between the political Zionists and the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've definitely seen this going on. And remember that the Illuminati are Jesuit. You know, Adam Weishaupt came from the Jesuit order.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a mind game. Everything's a mind game. So Albert Pike goes on to say that we need to get the Zionists and the Islamic world fighting amongst each other. And so we've got that going on. No problems there. And this is the road to World War III, according to Albert Pike. So he goes on to say that next we shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm with all its horror, will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then the revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass and direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, which is basically what they keep doing to us. You know, they just as I was saying with Bill Clinton and all of the mind control, the mind pattern programming going on, they will then receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, finally brought out into public view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we were looking into the inauguration, the head of an atheist group filed a lawsuit against Barack Obama for the inauguration, saying that that you can't have these prayers. You know, we cannot no longer have these open prayers for an inauguration. And then we start looking at the actual prayers that were given, and this gets very strange, because who was it that they were invoking?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to go there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So we look first to Gene Robinson. He gave the first open prayer on inauguration on Sunday. And now he's a New Hampshire Episcopal bishop who is openly homosexual. He says that he believes in his heart that the church got it wrong about homosexuality. And he's hoping to see and live in a time when the church will start getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not religious. I'm not, I've not been brought up in any faith. But I'm looking at symbols and mind pattern programming. So here comes this openly homosexual bishop to give the opening prayer. And he opens it with an O God of many understandings. So he's now invoking some some odd God to of many understandings. And of course, this he was going on to say that that God loves every nation. He says our president is a human being and not a Messiah. He goes on to say, bless this nation with anger, bless us with discomfort. And a lot of this was very equivalent to what Barack's inaugural speech was, because you got to leave it to John Stewart, right? When he put together the picture of Barack Obama's, I can't even say it anymore. It's just Barack Obama in my head now.
There you go.
Yeah. You put his speech alongside with W's inaugural speech, and you'll see that they're saying the same thing. We're going to have to go kill our enemy. We're going to have to suffer. It's going to be hard, and times are not easy. And they were almost word for word when you saw it side by side. I'll leave it to the Daily Show to give us our news, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So here we have this first minister, openly gay, promoting this God of many understandings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Dr. Barry Black that comes up before the dinner at the inauguration. And he comes in and he invokes. Now this invocation, realize, okay, inauguration is the unification of the God with the queen, the king and the goddess is the inauguration. It's an ancient magical term of using to instill a spirit into your leader. So this is the real meaning of inauguration. So now when we're performing an invocation at the inauguration, this is to invoke or bring in a spirit. And these are all terms used in the occult, of course, for magic. So when he says, let's invoke the Lord of all nations. Now, who is that? He never goes on, and none of them until finally Rick Warren even used the name Jesus or any God name. They simply say God of many understandings, God of Lord of all nations. But when Rick Warren, who is the producer for Purpose-Driven Life and a very controversial minister, and he comes up and he says God loves all people, all that he has made. And we got to wonder about that whole theory, because it doesn't seem to jive with what most Christians believe. No, those guys are heretics,
Sure, yeah.
So he comes in saying that this is all fine. And then he finally says, in the name of the one that changed my life, Yeshua, Esau, it's as if he's trying to invoke anything but Jesus. But finally he says, Jesus. And it's almost as if he finally was like, well, hell, I almost said it now. I might as well. So he says, and Jesus. But he had to say Yeshua, Esau, Jesus. And, of course, when you get to Ralph Ellis's work and we get to the Esau and you get to Esau is son of Isis.
Yes.
And then he goes into, okay, who taught us to pray? And he goes into our Father who art in heaven, the holy prayer. Well, this same prayer, if you look into occultism, if you go to Kabbalism again, you will find that the prayer of Our Father who art in heaven is actually the lesser banishing ritual, or what is known as a pentagram ritual, that you would perform before opening your magical circle. If you were a wizard or a witch or a magician, whatever term you want to use, and you wanted to invoke a spirit, the very first thing you do is you lay your pentagram on the ground, you put your magical sigils around it, and then you call out this Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. And so here we have this very same lesser banishing ritual, which is done to clear away all possible outside influences to your ritual.
That's really, really interesting. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, we're looking at ritual here. You gotta realize that that's where these people come from.
And so they're paving the way here to, I guess, then, as it were, clean the slate and bring in the spirit that they want to have, well, I guess, manifested in Obama, right? Because there's more coming up, I guess, during the inauguration process here, correct?
Absolutely. Are you able to play that that small clip?
Let us pray. Lord of all nations, in your sovereign name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Okay. So now, I did cut out the entire prayer. I just wanted to show you that they were openly saying, to the Lord of all nations, in his holy name, amen.
Yes.
Now, amen is the hidden one. Amen is this deity of the Egyptians. When we get to Akhenaten and we understand that he changed the amen to the Aten and started the monotheism. This is who they're calling upon.
Yeah.
They say it openly there, you know, this is, to our Lord of all nations, amen. And then, of course, everybody cheering, amen, amen. And they have everybody worshiping amen, and they don't even realize it.
Yes.
And, of course, the prayers get stranger and stranger. We get to Joseph White, Joseph Lowry White, and, you know, Rush Limbaugh had much to say about his prayer, saying that the black will not be asked to give back. The brown will stick around. Yellow will be mellow. Red can get ahead. But then when he gets to the white folk, he says, and white will embrace what is right. You know, this really stirred a lot of people in saying that the white man is the evil overlord, as it were. I mean, I can almost agree with them, but yet I'm white. You know.
And this was a commentary that Rush did after the inauguration, or what was this? In what context was this?
After Joseph White had given this speech, and everybody was, of course, laughing as he's giving this poem, you know, a black will not be asked to give back, and brown can stick around, and, you know, everybody was really into it, cheering and laughing. But then he gets down to when white will embrace what is right, everybody's like, oh my God, that was racist. Only from the other spectrum. Now we're the ones being attacked, right?
Right, right.
So we are watching as this next part of Albert Pike's design is coming into fruition, this atheist versus Christians. And they have them dealing and duking it out between each other. And the whole plan is to get these people, the Christians and the atheists, to kill each other off so that they don't have to deal with it. They just throw in the mind pattern programming necessary to foment this type of activity.
Right, right. Well, that's really interesting. And in one sense, I mean, I'm from my perspective at this point, I also see that, you know, we can't say the same people, obviously, because we weren't alive back then, in case we're talking about some other type of creature here, which is always a possibility. But if we're talking about it in context of the creation of Christianity, I see that religion and other types of mind harnessing tools or manipulation tools have also been created by many of the same dynasties, as it were, and same family lines that we have still around to this day, meaning that in one way they've given us this religion and now they're just kind of taking it back again, you know, and we're just, again, many people are behaving like the pawns in this chess game. We're willingly fighting for what they've given us, or we're going against what they're giving us. Whatever it might be, we're still kind of very much participatory in the game. Do you know what I mean, Freeman?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's the same thing with the Constitution. As so many of the patriots, Christian patriots, are pushing and pushing for, you know, we need to get back to the Republic. We need to get back to the Constitution. And of course, from my perspective, I'm like, well, you must realize that the first 13 presidents were all members of a single fraternity. This is not, you know, there has never been this American dream that you believe in. It's never existed.
Yes.
And so they gave you the Constitution. And this, when you look at it as a form of the occult, they have now outlined the rules, the rights of the people. And then written down and then signed it with their magical signature. And you really got to realize that contracts like this are a form of magic.
Yes,
we take it as common practice today. So then here they are giving us these rights, giving us all these things and saying, yes, us Freemasons say that you can have these things. And now they want to take them away. And everybody's going, but they gave them to us. Yeah. No, they were inalienable rights. They were things that you already had. You didn't need these Freemasons to tell you that you were a sovereign being. They're merely telling you this to create this spell so that they can erase it later.
Absolutely. And also, in a sense, lay the groundwork and set a certain type of mentality of a human being. I mean, I've talked about this with other guests on the show as well, but this idea of, again, a lot of Americans obviously have their roots from Europe, also from Africa, other places around the world too, of course, but at the beginning, primarily from Europe, and who were the people who were willingly, as it were, dragging out their roots and was ready to go into another country. Not everyone was of the strength, or however we want to phrase that, to do that type of thing. And I think that has also reflected America's history, a certain type of mentality, if you know what I mean, Freeman, has been instilled in America and what was promised, in a sense, or they had to offer us something, I guess, or for the people who were leaving at that point. They had to offer freedom for a short period of time, because otherwise, why go over there, right? If it was the same tourney there, why not just stick it out here in the European countries, you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. And when you start looking into the Masonic stories of how during the Revolutionary War, if you were a Mason and you got caught by the enemy, you could give the grand hailing sign of a Freemason and they would take you to safety. And I have this in the Masonic Bible. It's not something that's unknown. This is pure fact.
Yes.
So these Masons weren't warring against each other. They were having everybody else kill themselves in the middle.
Yes.
But then this also set the stage of this revolutionary public. And so now everyone in America is like, they're trying to take our guns. They're trying to take our guns. No, they're trying to get you mad so that you'll get your guns and go shoot somebody.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is what they want of you.
Well, absolutely. Create the anger, create that kind of antagonism. And then it's a good point. I mean, in that sense, I think that it's a very delicate time right now. Again, if we bring in this idea of the economic turmoil that has been artificially created on top of this as well. I mean, that means that people are, you know, they're becoming more and more angry in a sense, as it were. And I even remember the article I put up from Brzezinski just a couple of days ago, where he talks about, you know, hell, there could even be riots on the streets in America, you know?
Yes, and they are really set up for that as well. You know, people are starting to feel this weight, and yeah, there definitely could be riots coming.
Do you think something good can come out of something like that, like you know, the people standing together, joining up against the tyrants, or again, do you think that the energy will be misdirected, perhaps towards, as you say now, towards individual groups like you know atheists and Christian fighting each other instead of we're looking at the true enemy here, you know, because that has been unfortunately the standard throughout history, almost, that we fail to recognize who the real enemy in those types of situations really is.
Yes. And if people think they're going to go up against this with guns, they're just crazy.
Yes.
At this point, you know, this is where now Obama is moving legislation towards uniting NASA, which of course is another Freemasonic Nazi organization, with the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, according to Bloomberg, he's going to tear down longstanding barriers between the U.S. civilian and military space programs.
The question is if they ever actually have been separated, but that's another story.
Right,
but I know what you mean. They're doing it now on the official level, even. That's
exactly.
Yes.
And this is of course, they're saying due to the new space race with China. Mm-hmm. But if you realize that China was our most favored nation back in Bill Clinton's time, and they were fed all of the patents, they were fed all of the technology that they have by our patents. You know, it's not like they just suddenly sprung up.
Sure.
And then, you know, even NASA's symbolism is starting to alter as well when they're starting to call their new projects Ares.
Yes.
And Orion. And of course, Ares is Mars, the god of war. So we're starting to see even the symbolism alter within this this military campaign of space-based weaponry.
Yes.
And Obama. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, and again, this idea, very simple and very obvious in a way, but needs to be pointed out that that what we're seeing here potentially is the creation of an enemy, the creation of much in the same way that the Soviet Union was helped out by the U.S. and in some cases might have been the other way around as well. You know, we must recognize that science that goes on either, you know, on one side of the fence or the other here could be potentially useful by the administrators of the conspiracy, as it were, to just disseminate, you know, the proper scientific knowledge at a particular point. You know, we know the stories about the atomic bomb and what have you, that there was a race going on and you know, both the Soviet Union and USA got it, you know, fairly close to each other, meaning that they become a big threat to each other. And what we might be seeing now then is that China again is being set up as the new boogeyman and the new worry element within people's lives, you know?
Absolutely. And I highlighted this 3 years ago on my website about the Russia-China alliance and how this was being set up to bring about this World War III. And if we look to like Wernher von Braun, right, mm-hmm. and he's coming out saying, okay, there's an enemy list that they're going to use against you to sustain the war mode and to keep the Pentagon's budget. And first it will, of course, be the Soviet Union, and this was, you know, the Cold War. Mm-hmm. Now, we got to keep in mind that Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt, they're all Freemasons. They're all sworn to each other, sworn to allegiance. We understand how this works, where they're not fighting one another. They're using us to create what they need. And that's when it really starts to get interesting, because once you start to look at what they're creating, I mean, their work, it's the Masons, it's the occult orders that are working to get off the planet. It's them that cause the titles of the space shuttle to be the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, you know, and to blow up challengers. These are Freemasonic. This is, you know, occult orders. This is not America.
Sure.
This is, they're the ones going off planet. They're the ones building large hadron colliders to.
We just got cut off. You were mentioning a very good point, Freeman. You were talking about basically that the fruits of the sum of the discoveries that we kind of humanity that we collectively are making, we do not get to utilize that. You were mentioning like the Large Hadron Colliders and things like that. We really don't see the fruits of that, but it's done for someone else, right, Freeman?
Absolutely, and as you look into my artwork, you'll see, of course, CERN's logo, 666, once again, just like VW and Phillips 66 and all of this, with a hyperdimensional portal in between the sixes. So we do have to question what it is, because we must look at this from an occultist perspective and realize that they do believe that there are beings on the other side that they can contact. And this is the point of magic. And we're looking at now it becoming technomancy or technical magic,
yes.
Using technology to start breaking through.
And I think that's a good point. I just want to interject and mention a few things that I kind of see as a trend. And this is very kind of minor things, obscure things, but there are, for instance, television programs where, like, we can see very much of the things that we used to think of as, in a sense, magical terms, or at least in the showbiz sense, you know, magicians doing their tricks and whatnot. There's TV programs now revealing all of the tricks. They're revealing how the secrets, how we've been fooled all these years. And when I see things like that, I can't help to imagine what the new tricks are, so to speak, what the new magic is. And I think that that's what you just brought up comes into play for him, and they have a whole new set of a kind of scientific technological magic now that they can put on us, and they know exactly what buttons to push at what specific time. And the old, if you will, magic is kind of a little bit done with or over, and now we can be shown even how we've been tricked in the past. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, if you look back at Heron in ancient Rome, who was designed the steam engine in ancient Rome and was able to use these type of technologies to fool the people into coming into particular churches. So he would set up gears and levers so when the priests came outside of the church and lit the fire, this fire then started a mechanism that opened the doors, and it appeared the God was alive inside, yes, of this church, and they would fool you to go in.
Showbiz.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you watch like the new magicians, David Blaine and the other one, you'll see that when the people respond to their magic, they either call him Jesus or Satan. You know?
That's incredible. Yeah, it's so much just show. And again, that does not mean that it isn't occult or it isn't a hidden factor here. Again, I think that this has always been the roots of the occult as well, to simply, as the word means, to keep something hidden, to not give you the full truth. And in that sense, it doesn't really matter if it's, quote-unquote real or not. It just, what matters is if the people who are looking at it are tricked by it or fooled by it. That's all that matters, in a sense, in the realm of magic. Do you know what I mean, Freeman?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they are. Let's keep in mind that the grid, which was, was launched back when they thought they were going to get CERN running, the grid, 55,000 computers all interlinked with dedicated fiber optic lines. They're hoping to have 200,000 computers to make a major computing power, has the ability to generate holograms. And we're starting to see more and more holograms. Of course, the first one we saw was on American Idol with Elvis and Celine Dion. That was a mind blower. But now I think Prince William and even the Queen have made appearances as holograms. So we got to realize that we no longer trust our feelings, our sights, our senses anymore. They're all under attack with these acts of prestidigitation, if you want to take that term, for stage magic, you know?
Hey, I just thought of something when you mentioned like computing power and in connection with the web. I'm just thinking if what we're seeing here with the internet as well might be the building of the largest computer obviously ever made, meaning that if everyone has fiber optics connected to their computer, we have, lightning fast communication between computers and so forth. Let's say that the network, all our computers were hijacked in some sense or another, if they aren't already. I wonder what they could do with computing power like that. What I'm getting at is that they've handed us, or given us in a sense, we've bought them, of course, and put them in our homes voluntarily, but it's a whole lot of computing power in the millions and millions of computers that we're all collectively having in our houses. I wonder if they could use potentially some of that for some type of what you're mentioning here, Freeman, some type of holographic computation, or to do some extravagant show, as it were, to put something on. I don't know. A thought that came to me when you mentioned about that,
Well, when you couple this with the new high-def television that they're trying to force on everyone, when no one has any money to get a high-def television or pay for it, and they're offering, coupons so that you can get your high-def TV if you're too poor, which, of course, everybody is, couple this with these new fluorine light bulbs, the light bulbs that they're forcing on Australia and strongly promoting as these green light bulbs. The fluorine gas is based on fluoride, and therefore if you've got the internet pulsing through the electrical lines as they're going to do, then these can also be used as hypnotic type tools. So, everything starts getting being put in place, and it's all being brought and sold to us as green politics.
Yeah.
even the green president, which would go back to Osiris, but
There you go. And and it's all being under, it's very cleverly played out. And again, the fact they can institute global politics under the umbrella of the green, you know, revolution in a sense, as it were, is really clever. It's well done, and people really don't care about the facts anymore, because it's hip to belong to whatever it is that is the latest fad, and this is it. You know, that's what we're watching right now.
Absolutely. And this goes into my concept of them needing our approval. This idea of you giving your free will agreement. And so we start to give our free will agreement by accepting these ideas and saying, yeah, yeah. And many people, like, you know, they put out the Club of Rome put out Limits to Growth, and they're putting it through all the college campuses. I had to read it. And it's all these statistics saying that we're overpopulating the planet and we all need to die. And then, you know, we're trained to agree with this. And so pretty soon we're going to be agreeing with the idea of eugenics and the idea of bringing the population down to 500 million, like the Guidestone says. Even the Pope has come out about eugenics just recently, saying that there's this fear of these new genetically crafted children and the eugenics of beauty, that they want to kill off the people that aren't perfect. Pope just came out with that.
That's interesting, and I definitely want to read more on that. And, you know, again, I've sporadically put up articles about the new type of green warriors, and that they call, this is what they call themselves, that they're, you know, fighting for the earth, as it were. And what I've seen so far is that it's none of these kids are doing it, obviously, from their own, inspirational force, as it were. That they're doing it because their professor or their teacher or whoever it was have been, it seems to me, very much indoctrinated them into this whole new, the new religion, basically, of going green. And these kids are following up on this and bringing this back home to the parents. And I've seen incredible stuff where they're like tuning the parents to, you know, put out the lights and, you know, keep the thermostat down, and so it's cold inside the house. And it's really much also connected with the idea that we're going back to the kind of the feudal state of things, and we're going actually backward in a sense. You know, aren't we allowed to even keep our houses warm anymore? What the heck is going on here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're getting outside control. They're giving control over to it, saying, you know, here, I'm going to allow. They're putting in new thermostats in the houses that are operated from outside of the home, that they can turn off your thermostat if they wish. We're definitely allowing it all to come into our home in this way. And the computer itself, to me, was always very curious, because when you start to dig into the computer, you realize that everything that makes a computer is subterranean. And back when I was deep into UFOs, grays, and abduction stories, I'm looking at the computer as this subterranean technology, the quartz crystal that's your chip. Yeah. And then the gases, the gold, and the silicon, everything inside your computer is subterranean technology, which is to me very curious.
That's interesting. That's a good point.
And now Google is coupling with the Obama administration. That became big news not long ago. Of course, Google's motto is "Don't be evil." when you realize how much data we have put on Google, how much data we've filled out in our Facebooks and MySpaces, and we could they couple Google with the grid, and pretty soon they can just form simulation worlds and see what it is that we will do. They could profile us very easily with that type of computing power.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a good point as well. I think that all this, the surveillance grid, basically, that is being put out there or instigated, I think it's not as much as to individually snoop on people in that sense, but they're after the demographical perspective on this. They want to have huge amounts of data on everyone, and then I don't think that they really care about individuals. Of course, they can use that if they need to, if that is the case, if they need to track one specific individual at one point, that can be done as well. But mainly the overarching idea here, I think, is to create or gather as much data as possible on huge populations, and in that sense bring out the statistics on that in order to, as you say, Freeman, plug it into a supercomputer or, you know, some other machine that can computate these numbers, and then get they can basically, as it were, predict the future in a little sense. And it's that too is very much kind of it's highly occult in its nature to be able to you know, peer into the future, as it were, in order to predict things and in order to strategically place yourself in the right position at the right time in order to steer entire populations. You know what I mean?
Certainly, certainly. It'd be a lot easier than like what they did with H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds. You know, they can now just do it in the computer instead of having to see what the reaction would be by publicizing it.
Yes, and then there's the question of if that's going to be correct, of course. That's another story. But what is interesting here is that I think that they're trying to do this. So we can see the motivation here, at least, of what their wet dream is, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Now, before my computer died, I had given you a nice, eloquent explanation of the space race with China and these incoming meteors. Did you catch any of that?
No.
I cut off before that.
No, I didn't do anything. Maybe we can kind of begin to round off on that point for the first segment and then carry on in the next one. But do finish up that point, Freeman, that you were making.
Okay, well, we were looking into Wernher von Braun. I don't know. Did any of that come across?
You just got cut off when you talked about basically the Hadron Collider and the technology that they are building and that, you know, we do not get to use, basically.
Right. Okay. Well, so now we're looking as Obama is pushing forth legislation to couple NASA, which, of course, is a Freemasonic Nazi organization, with the DOD. We discussed that, right?
Yes.
So in Wernher von Braun's enemy list that we were looking at to sustain this war mode, there was, of course, the Cold War. And we need to realize Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt were all Freemasons, that they are not warring against each other. They're warring against you. The next part was the terrorist. And, of course, we know Osama bin Laden is nothing but a prop of the American military. It's all for show. But the next step in Wernher von Braun's list was asteroids. Now, the idea of the asteroid, many people are looking for blue beam, and I'm saying, well, no, the next step in the list was asteroids. And so I highlighted this in my HARP documentary when in December of 99, a meteor struck right over the HARP facility. That this meteor came in, and on January 8th, directly over the HARP facility, as if someone had guided this meteor straight at the HARP facility as they were testing it as a meteor deflection shield, as they were getting ready to make it the missile defensive shield and shift it over to Space Command at Cheyenne Mountain. Just before this, this meteor comes in and hits the atmosphere and explodes with a sonic boom. And now this is a strange note because most meteors do not create a sonic boom. And then this was followed just a couple hours later by a massive earthquake in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got this meteor with its bright orange flash and then a sonic boom, clouds disperse at 1,000 miles, and then an earthquake follows this. So I knew that this was going to be important, and this is why I documented it in the HARP video, was so that people would remember this time and be able to correlate it when the next ones start coming, which it appears they have begun. So what we have now is a number of reports that have come in of these massive flashes in the atmosphere. Now, no one's too certain whether or not they are meteors or not. They just know that there's a massive flash of light in the atmosphere and then a sonic boom, such as the one that hit December 29th last year in Fairbanks or Tok, Alaska. And they, you know, they think it might be a meteor, but the thing was is that there was this sonic boom, and this was so odd and strange. And then it left these irregular contrails as it came in. And then on that very same day, 250 tremors hit Yellowstone National Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started to correlate this data of these incoming meteors, perhaps meteors, with their massive flashes, their sonic booms, and then the earthquakes. I highlighted it in the HAARP video, and now here we got them coming again with on December 29th, got the meteor coming in, sonic boom, and then 250 earthquakes in Yellowstone National Park. And I had started to database a number of these, but I don't have them all before me at this point. I plan on putting this article together and getting that all out to everyone. But there was another one in Anchorage that came in with a 5.7 earthquake that followed.
Hmm.
Now, you had said that you had heard as well of some of these strange meteors.
Absolutely. We had one up in southern or western, basically southern parts of Sweden. I didn't see this myself, but I talked with people who did see some kind of weird flash. And again, the thing is that it was over such a large area that apparently it could be seen from miles. And over southern parts of Sweden, this was in, let's see here, back in the 18th of January this year, obviously. And what was particularly interesting about this event that I thought was that exactly to the day 5 years earlier, back in 2004, there was a similar explosion, but over the northern part of Sweden, which kind of made this weird connection that it's something that's been, targeted, whatever it is, some kind of experiment. We don't know what's going on, and this isn't yet been fully kind of brought to light. We don't know exactly what it was. Again, the speculation is that it was a burning meteor that kind of exploded, but I don't think there was any sound though associated with this. Again, the sound could have been over a smaller area, and then the rest got the light explosion, so to speak, or the light phenomena.
Turning night to day is
absolutely exactly that was apparently what people saw. And again, I missed it myself, but this seems to be happening a little bit here and there, then, as it were.
And let me add that when I was a child, now there are a few things that I've witnessed myself personally. And as a child, when I was on the beach next to a submarine base in Florida, we're walking along at night, and next thing I know, it's bright daylight. And I'm looking around just astonished, trying to, what's going on? All of a sudden, it's daytime, and I turned just in time to see this hill, watch the light go behind the hill towards the submarine base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that HAARP technology is being used for submarine communications as well. And so it's my belief that what we're seeing is like a coupling of scalar waves as they collide, and they're trying to generate this type of activity with these new scalar technologies.
Hmm.
And at another time when we had just announced One America, I say we, I hardly consider myself a we there, but when America had moved the missile defensive shield to Cheyenne Mountain, I was very concerned because a missile defensive shield is against the SALT II treaty, which is the idea of mutual destruction. That's the one thing that we believe is keeping us from being blown up by these nuclear bombs, which I don't agree with. But the SALT II treaty was there, and my father building nukes, it was really in my world because he had to go back to North Dakota and take all these nukes apart again after we signed the SALT II treaty.
Mm-hmm.
But when they moved the missile defensive shield to Cheyenne Mountain, this was also in violation of this treaty. And because now we have a force field, now we have this this ability to defend ourselves from mutual destruction. At that moment, that night, we were driving to a missile defense or to a missile silo. I have a friend who has a $2 million home inside of a missile silo,
mm-hmm.
and we are on our way to his place, and we see what looked like a whole fleet of missiles coming towards us over the horizon. And as it flew over us, it appeared to be like the size of the Empire State Building in pieces, burning from one horizon to the other. We watched the entire event. And we were all, of course, joking how it was good that we were about to run to this missile silo where we might be safe. Now, this came on the day after we announced the missile defensive shield moving to Cheyenne Mountain. And, of course, I was expecting some sort of retaliation, or at least the potential of. And then these things come flying through the atmosphere, which looked like a fleet of missiles, could have been. The news then later stated that it was a Russian rocket that had exploded in the atmosphere.
Really?
The amazing events that went down with all of that.
Really, really interesting.
And so now we're watching NASA couple with the DOD. We're watching as, you know, China in 2007 had their surprise missile test and took out one of their satellites with a missile.
Yes.
Which is not very easy to do. And now we have this satellite collision.
Yes, yes.
Which Richard Hoagland is saying is a physical impossibility. Well, you know, that we just had a large fireball come over Texas, over Austin last Sunday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was reported that many believed it might be remnants of these colliding satellites, but yet no, not at all.
Hmm.
Or at least that's what the news says. But let's realize that in this idea of them moving to unify the NASA with the DOD, one of the main talks has to do with space-based weaponry, has to do with the idea of satellite protection. And they're, now Hillary, of course, was also releasing her civil space policy on the 50th anniversary of Sputnik. And she's committed to getting this space exploration program robust and getting it going. And of course, retiring the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, which another rocket scientist is saying, well, if we were to strap these, tether the space shuttles together, we could get a manned mission to Mars.
Hmm.
But what we need to recognize is their intent. And so as they start to push this legislation towards a space-based weapon act, now Obama said he was totally against all of this. I'm looking for the exact quote at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he was against this space-based weapons, but that it was a tricky issue of defining whether or not satellites are, could be used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
This is all from Reuters. Moments after the Obama inauguration, the website updated to show that they would seek a worldwide ban on weapons that interfere with military and commercial satellites. And so we have all this news coming out where they're trying to say, well, you know, we're concerned about this satellite. We don't want to put up space-based weapons, but, you know, we just might have to. And next thing we know, a couple of satellites collide in space.
Yeah. Very, very so convenient. Very good timing, as it were.
Exactly. Exactly.
Huh.
And so the Space Preservation Treaty, the whole idea of Wernher von Braun's ideas of these asteroids incoming, I think this is going to play a very dramatic part in our near future.
That's very interesting. I want to talk here in section two, as it were, a little bit more about what how you think that they're potentially doing this, if this is hard technology, if they're bringing this in. And then we have a whole lot more topics to address as well, Freeman. But I want you to mention a little bit of your website and a few videos that you have out there for us before we listen to some music, take a little break, and then return.
Sounds fantastic. Well, my website is freemantv.com. And if you do a web search of just Freeman TV, you will find all my things because I'm myspace.com/FreemanTV. And you would want to become my friend because I give a lot of updates on things and pass things through the bulletins, let you know what's going on in the shows. So FreemanTV.com, MySpace, Freeman TV. And then I have a new YouTube channel, which I'm starting to put out a bunch of what I call esoteric adventures. And my first one up there right now is on the Bicentennial Mall in Nashville. Very intriguing stuff that I took a tour with William Henry there. So that's also Freeman TV. So that's YouTube, Freeman TV. And then, of course, the blog, thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com, which will have more of the updates on the blog than on Freeman TV, because I have to go through someone else to get the messages onto FreemanTV.com. Mm-hmm. But if you, you know, anything Freeman TV, that is me, except for the guy eating the sandwich. I don't know what's up with that.
What is that?
If that's the first video that comes up if you search Freeman TV, is this guy eating a sandwich. I don't know. He happened to grab the name in time to catch my wind. But yes. And I do have a number of documentaries that, well, in my own entertaining fashion that I have put out. I try to keep this stuff topical and entertaining and thought-provoking. I'm willing to discuss extraterrestrials. I'm willing to go off the deep end. I'm willing to, you know, search these answers, because this is where we got to go if we're going to try and figure this out.
Well, absolutely. I'm all for that. It's all about exploration of these topics, and just because, you know, again, you discuss them doesn't mean that you fully are, you know, engaged in a believer, as it were. This is about entertaining the idea and see if it is rational or not. And again, what are we to say if what is, you know, really going on in the world anyway? We can't even figure half of this stuff out anyway. So let's keep an open mind here, people, and let's see what actually is going on. But again, freemantv.com, that's the main website, and from there, I guess, Freeman, that you have also all the links up, correct? People can find your YouTube account and your blog and so forth, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, very good. So FreemanTV, that's .com, that's the main website. We will have these and other links up on RedIceCreations.com as well. But me and Freeman are going to take a short break right here. We're going to listen to some music, relax for a little while, and then we'll be back more in the member section. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be right back. More Freeman coming up in our member section after this break. Go to RedIceCreations.com for all the details on how to tune in. We're going to continue our conversation on Barack Obama and the rest of the family and the Egyptian connection. We're going to also talk about important dates, 10/13, Friday the 13th, and July 4th as the possible next red flag. We'll talk about 9/11 and the new Freedom Tower, Pope Benedict, or Pope Ratzinger, as I'd like to call him, the Nazi connection, the Knights Templar, the Temple of Solomon, and the Baha'i faith as the New World Order religion. And we round things up talking about how Atlantis recently, allegedly, has been found on Google Earth, and just tons of more material. So don't miss this exciting continuation with Freeman. We also want to remind you that we're looking for your music. If you're doing your own music and want to have it played on Red Ice Radio, go to our radio archive and click on Bumper Music at the top to read more about that. We'll talk more after this break.
I got the perfect remedy.